Well, we do take encouragement from some of the Psalms and also passages like that one from Colossians, which encourage us to sing praises to God and to sing truths to one another. And we do love good hymns here at St. George's. We love good classic hymns and we love good new songs. And we try to make the most of both in helping to encourage one another to praise the Lord and in reminding one another and ourselves, our own souls, some of the important truths of Christian witness. We're also very pleased and glad to have live musicians to lead the singing. At 9:30, the choir and organist and the monthly ensemble. At 11 o'clock, two or three different bands. And most of all, we want to sing the good hymns and songs that people want to sing. In September and October, we held a poll to discover St. George's favourite hymn. And we have results for each of our weekly services. So you should have a little sheet that was given to you, which probably has on one side the results of this service, the 9:30, and maybe on the other side the results from the 11 o'clock service. And there were similar ones given out on Thursday at the midweek communion and at St. Martin's this morning. Overall, if you count the results from all the congregations, number one was How Great Thou Art. Number two was In Christ Alone. And number three was Be Thou My Vision. But there are there's some consistencies across services, as you'd expect, but there are some differences as well. And that is reflected in the choice of hymns and songs which we make for each of the services. And we'll feed these results into the meetings that I have with leaders of music and into our choice of hymns and songs week by week. Now, for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to preach on some of the favourite hymns and some Christmas carols as we get closer to Christmas. And so today's hymn is the number one for the 9:30 service. O Lord my God, how great thou art. If you want to have a look at it as I go through it, it's there in the white hymn books. It's number 506. Inspiring words, uplifting tune, straightforward themes. I can see why this is our number one. And indeed, it's not just our number one. It's been the Songs of Praise, BBC Songs of Praise number one in recent years as well. The tune is a Swedish traditional melody. And so I guess that makes it easy for most of us who are North Europeans to sing. The words were originally derived from a poem by a man called Carl Boberg, which was written in 1885. He was a Swedish man, and the story goes that he was walking home from church on a warm summer's night. It was threatening a thunderstorm. Indeed, I think there may have been a thunderstorm. He may even have got soaked. But his senses were heightened. That's often the case, isn't it, when it's a warm summer's night and it threatens a storm. His senses were heightened, and this poem was written. It was partly inspired, I think, from his thinking on Psalm 8. When I consider the skies, the work of your hands, how majestic is your name in all the earth, O Sovereign Lord. Anyway, the poem was written. It was 20 years later, in 1907, that it was translated from Swedish to German. And then it was translated from German to Russian in 1912. And it started to become a popular hymn in Northern and Eastern Europe. I think as it became more popular, Boberg did translate it into English. But our translation is by a different route. There was an English Methodist missionary called Stuart Hine, who was doing some mission work on the Polish-Ukraine border in 1931. And he was working amongst some of the villagers in Ukraine. And he heard the hymn, and he got used to singing it and worked out how he could sing it in English as well. And verses 1 and 2 were inspired by the Boberg hymn, the translation into Russian. And then verse 3 were inspired by the prayers of genuine repentance that he heard from the villagers in Ukraine at that time. He was very moved. He kept the hymn himself, and at the end of World War II, he found himself with Russian soldiers in England who were finding it hard to get back into Russia in those times of turmoil. And he was amongst them ministering to the Russian soldiers. He could speak Russian, and so he was a good minister to try and encourage them and help them at that difficult time. And he realized that they were wondering about the future and wondering if they would ever get home to see their wives this side of heaven. And so verse 4 is a verse about the future, which was inspired by those times. Hine published the whole hymn, including his own verses, around about 1949. And then it started to become popular in English-speaking congregations because it was sung at the British at the Billy Graham missions in the 1950s and 1960s. And indeed, it's come to us in that white hymn book that's called Mission Praise, which came out of the Billy Graham missions in the early 80s. So there's the story of the hymn and how it's got to us. In relative terms, it's quite a recent hymn in our list, and so it is quite remarkable in some ways that it's soared to the number one place so quickly. But in other ways, it's not a surprise, is it? Because it is a very moving and straightforward to the point hymn. Just have another look at it there. Verses 1 and 2 describe walking or experiencing the open air and the scenery and the environment that the Lord has made and put us within. And it is easy to bring to mind verses like those in Psalm 8. When I consider the skies, the work of your hand, how majestic is your name in all the earth, O Sovereign Lord. It's a reminder that when we appreciate creation, it is good to turn that appreciation and wonder at the created order of things into praise for God. Don't just appreciate creation. Praise the Creator is the sort of underneath message. And it's helpful. That is one of the ways in which God shows himself to us through his creation, to wake us up to his presence and his person and his work. So verses 1 and 2, they're easy to relate to and helpful to encourage our worship of God. Verse 3 the one that was inspired by Stuart Hines' missionary work amongst the Ukrainian villages, is a reminder that another way in which we can understand God is to look at Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, and consider what he has done, and in particular, his most significant work, his death on the cross for us. That is what the Ukrainian villagers were responding to as they said their heartfelt prayers of repentance for sin. And that is the thing that can move us and encourage us to praise God for, well, for the amazing thing that he's done for us, including that work of Jesus on the cross for our salvation. That's verse 3. It's an inspiration to consider more deeply Jesus and what he's done for us, and then to turn that into worship of the Lord. And then this fourth verse, encouraging us to trust for the future. We can imagine Stuart Hine ministering amongst those Russian soldiers, wondering if they would ever be able to get back over the Iron Curtain, wondering whether their wives and families were indeed still there at home or had maybe been lost in the tumult of the war over on that side of the continent. They were wondering about the future and seeking to find encouragement from the Lord as they look to the future. And when many things about the future are unsure, even rather bleak, it is helpful to be encouraged by a verse like this, to hang on to Jesus' promises about his return and entrust ourselves to his word on the last things. So, inspiring words, uplifting tunes, straightforward themes which cover quite a span, even in these four short verses. And a simple chorus which gives us words to praise the Lord. I'm not surprised that it is number one. Indeed, when I was made a canon in Chester Cathedral a year ago, all the new canons were told they could choose a hymn, and this is the one I chose. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for good hymns. We thank you, Lord, that good hymns help us to praise you as we ought. We thank you that good hymns help us to consider the things that are most helpful and can be most helpful. We thank you for good hymn writers who've left us with good hymns and songs through which we can praise and learn. For your name's sake, we thank you. Amen.